Well, they've closed the door. People, most for the most part, people are quiet. It's unusual.
Here's Brett.
Okay. I don't know if everyone picked up a bulletin or not, but well, it seems like every week we're mourning the loss of someone, and the very top of the list is Donnell Campbell's mother passed away this past week. So remember Donnell Campbell and his family. Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning. Thankful that you brought us together. We're thankful for the word, Lord, and we pray that you would be with us while we study. Pray for a true and accurate understanding of the Holy Spirit, and that what we learn from the Bible we will apply to our lives and be able to share that with others as well. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the works that we are undertaking. And Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. Pray that you would comfort them. Pray that you would help us to comfort them as well. Be with those who are not with us this morning. Be with those who are sick, and help them to get better. Be with us, Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up with the study that we started last week. And let me get to that first slide. Remember, we saw that the miraculous gifts given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost is not the same as what we receive. We don't have the ability to immediately speak in a foreign language. We don't have the ability to do miraculous wonders that they did. That was, and they were given that power for a reason. We'll look at that reason, if not today, next week. We will see why they were given those powers. But if you have an honest understanding of the scriptures, honest look at the scriptures, the so-called baptism of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not true. It cannot be substantiated by the scriptures. What some religious groups say and claim is not true. It's not so. Okay. And let me quote Mac Lyon. We saw what Mac said last week, but this is what Mac says. What the apostles received was promised by our Lord to equip them for the work to which he had chosen and called them. What they received enabled them to do signs, wonders, and miracles of an apostle. That was Mac Lyon. There's the scripture right there that we first looked at. And notice there at the bottom that on the apostles, there appeared in divided tongues as a fire, one set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know that doesn't happen today. It only happened then and a couple of other times, and a couple of other times are during biblical times, during the New Testament times. Okay, and then we looked at this, what your book calls the first exception. Remember, Philip went down and he went to Samaria. He preached to the Samaritans. He did miracles in front of the Samaritans. He healed the Samaritans. Some were possessed with evil spirits. He removed that. And he taught him, Jesus, preached the word to him. But did any of them receive the Holy Spirit while Philip was preaching? Did any of them receive it? Not then. Okay. Notice that, well, it says there in your scriptures, Peter and John had to come down to Samaria. Peter and John laid their hands on him. Then they received the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. All right. And why was that? Why was this necessary? Because they were Samaritans? Yeah. This first time that the word was taught to a non-Jews. So this was to show that they were could be accepted into the faith. Okay? So that's why this is an exception. The Samaritans, this was the first time that a non-Jews were preached to. Okay? And so it showed that this was acceptable. They could be admitted into the faith. All right. Now, this was an exception. And if you notice in your Bibles, I don't know if anyone's there or not, Acts 8, shortly after that, Philip preaches to the eunuch. Did Peter and John or any of the other apostles lay their hands on the eunuch? No. But the eunuch, he was saved and he received the Holy Spirit. Okay. So this case about Samaria was the first exception. All right. Then we looked. Remember, we looked at where Paul, he came upon some disciples of John the Baptist. Okay. This is over in Acts 19, 1 through 7. He asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And remember, their answer was, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. Okay? And knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what does Paul do? Paul teaches them about Christ. He baptizes them in the name of Christ. And then what happens? They receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what was the difference? Why did they not have the Holy Spirit before? Yeah, they had been baptized into John's baptism. They had not known about Christ and not been baptized into Jesus' baptism in the name of Christ. Okay. All right. So that explains that. That explains why they did not have the Holy Spirit until that time. Okay. Another exception. All other conversions that you'll read about in Acts, immediately upon being baptized, believing in Jesus, being baptized, they have remission of sins and receive the Holy Spirit. Except for the one we're going to look at again, we're going to look at today. Cornelius and his family. Okay, we started this last week. We started looking at this one last week. And it's in Acts 10 and Acts 11. Okay, remember that Cornelius, he's a centurion. He was in charge of I think it was 100 Roman soldiers, a regiment. He had a regiment. Okay. What else do we know about Cornelius? What else does it tell us about Cornelius?
Gentile.
He's Gentile. Okay. What do we know about his faith?
Huh?
He prayed a lot, didn't he? Okay. Says he was very devout. Very devout. Does it tell us anything else? Generous man? Yeah, very generous. Very generous. Okay. An angel comes to him and tells him that his prayers have been answered, and then he tells him to send for Peter. Okay. And this is in verse 5 there up on your screen. Now send men to Joppa, send for Simon, whose same surname is Peter. Okay. And we picked up the story, and I think we looked at this last week as well. Next day they went on their journey, and while they went, Peter was up on the top of a roof. Okay. And what did Peter see?
Unclean animals.
Yes. Okay. And the Lord, in a vision, tells him to get up and go kill those animals and eat them. Peter refuses because that was against his beliefs, against the Jewish beliefs. Okay. And while he's thinking about that vision, the people from Cornelius come to him. Okay. All right. And so the men sent by Cornelius, they come to him. And then Peter understands, when he hears about Cornelius, what he must do. So he goes with them to see Cornelius. Okay. When Cornelius encounters him, he bows down, thinking he's like a king, maybe, or something higher up. And then what does Peter do? Peter tells him to stand up immediately. Okay, all right. And then Peter knows that he is to preach to Cornelius and his household. Okay, so let's pick up the story beginning with verse 34. And this is up on the screen if you're not in your Bible. And Peter opened his mouth and said, excuse me. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Okay, skips a little bit. I'm going to skip on down to verse 40. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Okay, now notice this next part. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. or they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they, and that's Cornelius and his household, they asked him to stay a few days. Okay. All right. So while Peter was preaching, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his household, right? And this was not the norm. This was totally unusual. And in fact, it had only happened to the apostles before. Okay. Why did it happen? Why did it happen this way? To show that Gentiles could be accepted into the faith? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it says, and those of the circumcision. Who says those of the circumcision? What does that mean? Hebrews. Uh-huh. Those of the Jewish faith. Okay. They were astonished by this. But they understood why. Okay. This was so unusual, so far out of the norm that it can only be explained by the fact that they were Gentiles. Okay. Look in your book. I like the way your book says it. Yeah, on page 28 in your book. I hope everybody brought their book. I have a few left if anyone doesn't. Anyone need a book? No one's raising their hand. Okay. Page 28. About midway down the page, it's talking about the same thing we're talking about. Second paragraph from the bottom. Was this the norm? The casual, the ordinary, the usual? It was so exceptional, it required special visions. Angels. Remember, the angels came to Cornelius and his household. Okay. Required miracles, dreams. Peter had a dream. And a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was the introduction to the other half of the world, the grace of the gospel. Cornelius and his household was a rare exception. This had to be if the prophecy of Joel was to be fulfilled. i.e., that is, that the promise of salvation and the indwelling of the Spirit was given to all flesh, not just to Jew, not just to the Jewish. And that was promised in Joel, and in Acts 2, Peter repeated the same thing. Okay. All right. Next paragraph. What was the norm? What was the usual? What was the main thing? Well, if you look at all other accounts, I'll look at all 10 accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, you will see the pattern of truth repeated again and again. Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection was preached every time. No one was instructed to seek the Holy Spirit or pray through to salvation. He points that out because some religious group teach that today, that you must pray to have the Holy Spirit come upon you after baptism. Okay. Okay, so he says, no one instructed to seek the Holy Spirit or pray through to salvation. Those who heard the mighty word of God believed and were instructed to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just as Peter did. In every case of conversion in the book of Acts, they were baptized in water. And I like what he says about this was just an unusual case, just as the case about the Samaritans was. Okay? Every other conversion, they believed, they repented, they were baptized, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Bruce, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And woe unto you if you look down on them or you try to create for them a separate situation, you know, where they can be, you know, we'll tolerate you, but, you know, don't think you're God's people. Peter puts all that down with his comment in 47. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? So to me, that this goes along with that extraordinary situation to make it clear. And I'm not, I don't think I have any Hebrew blood in me, but I'm also very stubborn and I like things to always be the way they always were. And these Hebrews were going to be very, there was going to be some ethnocentrism, there was going to be some racism, there was going to be some geographic, you know, you're not from around here, kind of push back on these Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're exactly right. The Hebrews, they were taught from the beginning that they were the better race. Yeah, Gentiles would not. They were not chosen by God as we were. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Let me go to this next slide. Okay. Now, if you were to look at 1 Corinthians 12:13, you'll see there that it says, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There is only one baptism. There's not a second baptism of the Holy Spirit, as some religious groups teach. So that's and in 1 Corinthians 12:13 says only one baptism. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body. Okay. So what are the benefits to us if we don't get the miraculous gifts? Well, there are many, and the slide points them out. We benefit from the effects of the pouring out of the Spirit on the Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We experience the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Spirit. Okay. And that's from Titus 3:5-6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay. What's regeneration mean?
Do again, build over.
Pardon me?
Build again.
Begin anew, okay. New, okay. So we're talking about being born again, same thought? Yeah, okay. New, made spiritually alive. That's what it means. Okay. So through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have this new life. Okay. Okay. Poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Notice that in the middle of it, that scripture again. And renewing of the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit, washing and regeneration, renewing. Begin a new life, new creation. Okay. And Jesus had promised that and said that in John 3:5. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay. There's another place that we can point to. We are baptized in one body, made to drink into one Spirit. Okay. Here's where Jesus promised it. John 7:37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay. Okay, so what does that tell us? Jesus promised the Holy Spirit ahead of time, didn't he? Coming of the Holy Spirit. Out of his heart flow rivers of living water. Holy Spirit would be coming upon him. And then notice verse 39. This he spoke concerning the Spirit. Jesus promising it. Promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. All right. We enjoy the benefits of the Spirit's indwelling. Spirit is in us. We have the Spirit within us. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:19. For do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? For you are not your own. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. And then we've already looked at Romans 8. Remember what it said? About you're either of the flesh or you are of the spirit. And if the spirit indwells in you, three times he said that there. Spirit dwells in you. Okay. So the point is, these blessings that we have, this spiritual outpouring, may not be as visible as what happened on the day of Pentecost or what happened to Cornelius and his family, but they are just as real, just as possible, just as important to us. Okay, here's some things for you to think about. Trying to emphasize what we're seeing. Why is there so much confusion about the Holy Spirit among believers today?
They can't see it. They cannot see it.
Some cannot see it, yeah. I think Devin already pointed out that some have been taught incorrectly. Devin also said that some have only seen one or two scriptures, and where there were people, or where they were told to wait, the apostles were told to wait, remember? Okay. Why they were told to wait? Because the Lord wanted them to wait until the day of Pentecost. Okay. People are misled today and told to wait. Wait for the Spirit to come upon you. I'm sorry?
They don't read for themselves. They just listen to whoever's talking.
They're taught wrong, right? Rather than reading it in the scriptures. Okay? There's a lot of false teaching out there, and taking just one scripture and saying, well, that's it. That points to it.
And I think sometimes they must know what they're talking about because they have a radio program or they're on the TV. And the Bible spends a lot of time talking to us about false teachers and about how they're shine before all men, and I think it's very effective. I'll be honest. And to which I almost want to say, well, what's going on over there? But let's not get into that. And then from there, the understanding takes hold. And so I think that's just the best thing we can do is to make sure we're not false teaching, and we're not adding, and we're not taking away. Because I believe God's word is proof against all that, and people will just study and learn. But just so you guys know, that's why I have a real hard time with that. We've got to shut all the false preaching down. And yet the Bible does not say that. It says you must teach the truth.
Okay. Teach the truth, yes. You made me think of a scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 11, about our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are the Bible. Yeah, yeah, the truth. You're right. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. We got to be more speakers of the truth. Okay. Okay. I also have that question up there. Who is behind this? And I think we all know that. We all know who is behind all this false teaching, don't we? Satan is behind it. What are the dangers behind this? Because of this confusion.
Millions of lost souls.
Okay, and many people turning their back and turning away from Christ. When this so-called baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon them, right? People wanting to believe, and then when it doesn't happen, so they turn away from God. I think that's as much as the false teaching is those who lose heart and lose faith, turn away from God. That's as big a danger. Okay. How much time? I haven't got a whole lot of time. All right. Of course, that last question, I think we all know that this is Devin pointed out. We need to teach this more. We need to discuss this more. Okay. In the remaining time, let's talk about the miraculous gifts and what their purpose was, why we have them. Okay. From 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, 7 through 11. Paul lists the miraculous gifts. He calls them the manifestations of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. He says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. Not just for one individual, but for all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, from that passage, who gave out the miraculous gifts? Who distributed the miraculous gifts? What does it say? God, but also the Holy Spirit? Doesn't it say the Holy Spirit? The Spirit gave out? Okay. Spirit gave out as it wills. Holy Spirit. Okay. But as we've talked about before, the Holy Spirit, God, and Christ are all one. Okay? But in particular, the Holy Spirit gave out all the miraculous gifts and decided who would get what at that time. Okay? Is that clear? The Holy Spirit gave out the gifts, decided who would get. Paul tells us that very explicitly right there. Now, if you went through and counted them, you would find that there's nine of them. Nine of the gifts. Some of them are kind of self-explanatory, but others you got to kind of read into it, what he was thinking, what he was saying. Word of wisdom, of course, that's obviously the ability to speak new revelations. Word of knowledge. Faith. Not saving faith, but faith to perform miracles. That's why it was miraculous gift. The gift of healing. Okay. The working of miracles. Miracles of extraordinary power. Prophecy. In this context, disclosure of future. Okay. What is going to happen? Discerning of spirits. Telling the truth. Who is speaking truth or not? Who is speaking from the true source of God? Human or demonic, of course, that means false teaching. And kinds of tongues, ability to speak in various languages, and then the interpretation of tongues, ability to interpret the language. Okay, so that's the nine miraculous gifts at that time. All right. Now, Paul asks this, why was Paul teaching this at this time? What was happening within the Corinthian church? Some of the Corinthians were puffed up about themselves. Yeah. Saying, I've got this ability. I've got this gift. That makes me better than my brother. Paul was saying, no, not so. He's teaching this so that they would understand it was for the benefit of all. And these are the nine gifts, as they are. And they are distributed by the Holy Spirit for the good of all. So today, if somebody is puffed up saying, I have an ability to speak in a tongue, he's not doing it for himself, is he? He is doing it for himself, I should say. He's puffed up. He's not doing it for the good of all. Okay, we are out of time. Anyone have a question or a comment? We will continue with this next week, talking about the miraculous gifts. Now you know what they are, and next week we'll talk about what their purpose was and why we don't have them today. We'll see them next. That'll be our discussion next week. Okay.
Wish we had them.
Wish we had them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that.